is Friday, August the 26th, and you're listening to the Grains Matter Chatter podcast, presented by North Core Grains. I'm your host, Dolores Foster. I'm joined today by my co-host, Mr. Jeffrey Guy.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everybody. The last Friday in August.
I was just thinking that myself. Crazy, eh?
September right around the corner. Kids going back to school. Woohoo!
Kids going back to school. Silage probably starting. Really the start of the big harvest here is almost upon us. That's right.
Just around the corner. Well, let's get into the markets. We've had another volatile week. Seems to be a word we use most weeks, ever since Ukraine stuff happened anyways.
You know, actually, I think we've been using the word volatile ever since COVID.
Yeah, maybe that's probably true.
So, Jeff, there was a big tour in the U.S. this week, looking at yields and stuff. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Well, but what else? What do you want to start with?
Well, let's just start with those flat prices here on... So the corn market was up this week. Harvest corn's up about $17. Last week, that corn was down $5. Soybeans, the star of this week, it's up $27. Last week, it was down $13. Wheat, it's pretty interesting. The hard red spring wheat this week was up $15. Last week, it was down $16. Winter wheat this week's up $17. But last week, it was down $20 or $21.
So it is encouraging to see that the soybeans and corn have come up far past what their losses were last week, but unfortunately that wasn't the same thing for the week.
Yeah, so we're having volatile times. There's the word again. You know, day to day, week to week, it's nice to see that we're in a positive week, and so let's get into what made this week positive. You've mentioned about the Pro Farmer Tour in the U.S. So that's a big tour that a lot of boots on the ground tour. Boots on the ground, checking actual yields.
Lots of boots on the ground for sure. Do you think those results are affecting our market this week? Or do you think we're still going to yet see maybe the effects in the market later on?
Well, they definitely affected our market this week. It helped bring prices higher. So the Pro Farmer Tour for the corn side, they came in with an average yield of 168.1 bushels. This is pretty close to the DTN had a digital tour, all drones and computer imaging and stuff, that came in at a little over 169 bushels. But the USDA, in their last WASD report here this month, they were still projecting 175.4 bushels.
So there's a little bit of a difference there. Yeah. So I guess who's right and who's wrong? Are USDA going to have to come down, or maybe the Pro Farm Tour is... I don't know.
Generally, the USDA ends up coming in closer than anybody, but that discrepancy is pretty high right now. So I would say the market is looking for the USDA to decrease their numbers next month with their monthly WASD report.
Now, I mean, 106, what did you say, 165 bushels?
168
bushels an acre. That's like... That's super encouraging, I guess, maybe. But something I did hear this week for Eastern Ontario was at a crop meeting earlier this week at Mark Foster's. And for Eastern Ontario, the projection is 202. So that's a great number. Well, I like that number.
That's a pretty phenomenal number. I would... I don't know why I'm not excited about that. But just it's a hard one to believe. So... It's going
to
be.
I'd like to be an optimist, so I'm hoping that for Eastern Ontario,
There also was the Farms.com tour event at Dirk's Elevator on Thursday, and unfortunately wasn't able to make it, so I didn't have those numbers from what they reported. But and so they're looking for lower yields in the U.S. You know, so that's going to support the corn market. That also, in soybeans, they were just a little, like, 0.2 bushels lower than what the USDA had projected for soybeans. But when we look at corn, China was reading today, China's been the largest importer of corn in the world for the last 2 years. They used to be self-sufficient in corn. They used to be an exporter of corn. But their hog herd has gone increased exponentially the last bunch of years or whatever. They have more hogs to feed, so they need more inputs, which is corn's a big one. So now they're the largest importer in the world of corn. That's probably will continue. Now, there is a big drought, heat wave in China, but it's in the part of China that grows more wheat than corn. And so it's supposedly not damaging, it's not really damaging their corn crop. Their corn crop is looked to be pretty solid this year, but they still will be an importer. So that's, you know, it's positive, negative for corn. Soybeans, no, the U.S. demand for soybeans continues strong, both soy meal and soybean oil. Soy meal prices, they remain higher on the cash market than the futures in the U.S., just showing short-term demand. You know, we've already talked about the volatile weeks here in pricing and soybeans up and down. Prices remain strong in China. Again, we'll say a little bit about China. And the U.S. did have a good week of some strong export sales. Actually, the USDA went to a new reporting system for their export sales.
Oh, did they?
And they reported a massive number, and then they pulled it right off within an hour. They realized they had made a mistake. So they're... hopefully for next week they have this all corrected. And it was kind of funny, really. And I think the market probably responded for a little bit, but...
I was actually going to ask, is this reporting system more like the Chinese will like it better? Because I know they don't really like that that the U.S. reports all of these big sales, right? Because then that increases price.
And that's... yeah, but there's still... the U.S. went to this daily and weekly reporting back after the wheat crisis of, what was the year, 72?
Where Russia
cornered the market on world wheat. They bought up the supplies and blah, blah. There's been books and stuff written about that, so if anybody really wants to go into it.
For sure.
So soybean markets remaining strong. Wheat, you know, up and down. There's week to week here, you know, down 1 week, up the next week. There's always news right now on for wheat, and, you know, let's get right into the Ukraine. You know, they're reporting, I can't remember how many boats now are supposedly left the Ukraine with this extra corn and wheat.
But grain is still flowing out of Ukraine, so that is positive, but yeah. It's not flowing out maybe as fast as they thought it would, right?
Grain's flowing out, and I wrote this morning about how that people probably saw it in the news last night, the bombing right beside a nuclear facility, second largest facility in Europe, I think I read, on this nuclear facility. So there was big worries about it, but somehow they were able to keep the fire out of the facility or something. But there's no nuclear leaks and things were fine. But like that had potential to change everything.
But still lots of scary news coming out of Ukraine.
That's a great way to put it, Dolores. Lots of scary news. So we need to look at, you know, what's really going to drive the prices going forward.
Well, I think we've talked about some of them, right? Like the war in Ukraine, China, what's going on with them, with the export-import, what we talk about every week, the weather, right?
Those are the big three. I feel they're the big three, and we could talk like for a long time on any of the three.
Sure.
And there's always things changing with all three of them.
But also on top of that, if you want to add a fourth one, is just the economy, the world economy, how it's changing and what's going to happen, right? Like, I know the recession word has been thrown out there a couple times, but what does that look like? How does it affect our markets, right? These are all kind of a big unknown thing of how is it really going to affect our
and that's
markets.
All a recession affects it all negative. When there's less money to spend, that affects prices. U.S. Federal Reserve Chair was to talk today. I actually haven't read anything but what he said, but it was truly thought that he was just going to say we're going to keep the course of increasing rates to control inflation. They're trying to slow down their economy that way. So it wasn't really expecting anything big change. And when I looked at the currency today, there was no real massive swings in there. So I don't think he changed his tone today. And that's, you know, our currency's been pretty flat this week, which is good. Oil prices, last week we talked about them coming down. They're back up this week. It's more volatility, and it's what's happening in Russia and Ukraine and everywhere around the world.
And that's the thing, right? We talk about volatility every week on the grain markets, but there's other markets out there too. They're the same boat. They're all volatile, right?
Like this oil market, I was listening to a video this week about the OPEC Plus people and how they're talking. You know, the U.S. was at them to increase production, and they did increase at the start of this thing after Russia, and then another small increase this summer. Like, they went up a couple million barrels, and another 100,000 got thrown out at them. Now they're talking about decreasing to steady the price to keep it up where it is. Because remember last week we talked about how oil prices were lower than when the Ukraine invasion happened. Now they're back at just a little bit higher again. So it's weird markets out there. Our egg markets remain the same. You know, prices remain pretty strong. Everybody needs to take a look at what they have sold. We're looking at pretty wheat crops have been good. You're telling us a great number here on the corn crop, and soybeans look at least strong to good, you know, good to strong, whatever, out here. So let's talk a little bit about the wheat harvest here locally.
Well, it's been stalled, I think, this week for the most part with all these rains we are getting. Hopefully we'll get some nice weather this weekend. People will be able to at least get some more combined in.
Well, I think here locally, your farm's hoping to combine on Sunday.
That's right. I don't think we'll be quite dry enough tomorrow, but Sunday, that's the goal. So we will be open Sunday to receive grain if it's flowing in. If you need any service outside of those hours, then just give myself a call.
And everybody take Saturday off, make a roll on Sunday.
We'll work something out for sure. So I know it's been an interesting week. I was at two market or crop days, one yesterday at Mark Foster's and one today at Scout and Corner View. And it was so nice to get out and just to
lots
see
of
people
positive thoughts.
And lots of positive thoughts. And a little shout out to on Monday and Tuesday, there is a tillage school that Sullivan Agro is hosting or helping put together with Ken Ferry. So I know that's going to be a great event. The one on Monday is up at the Hills, and on Tuesday it's at Vernon Valley Farms. So that'll be another great event. And
well, we'll have to get Paul back on here to talk to us about how things went.
Absolutely, so. For sure. Paul can give us an update on what he's seeing out there in the crops. I know we had a great day today talking about some corn silage for some of those livestock guys, and it was awesome. So it was a good week. We ended positive. That's a good way
positive
to end
price,
it.
Positive race, good way to end it. Hopefully we can have another positive week next week. Everybody be safe out there. We'll talk to you soon. If you have any questions, give us a call anytime as always. So
thanks for tuning in. Hope everyone has a great weekend.
Bye for now.